Welcome to The Ripcord Moment, a podcast focused on empowering owners to achieve their perfect landing, their perfect exit. For most owners, the majority of their net worth is tied up in their business. Yet many owners struggle to create a plan that maximizes the value of their business with their personal goals and personal financial plan. Joe Cetu is the host of The Ripcord Moment. He is a partner and senior VP with Morton Capital, an independent wealth management firm responsible for $2 billion in assets. As a trusted advisor for over 20 years, he guides owners through the exit planning process by leveraging his unique skill set as a chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner, and certified exit planning advisor. Now here's Joe with The Ripcord Moment.
Business owners are today's American heroes. They innovate, they create jobs, they believe they can create a better future for their families and our country. So much attention is given to the start of the business, the idea, the technology, the fundraising, yet much less to the exit, as if it will magically take care of itself. When they do go to exit the business, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. There is no do-over. Yet we see so many owners are ill-prepared to make this jump. This podcast is focused on learning from those entrepreneurs and team of advisors who have made the jump and sharing their best ideas with you. So when you're ready for your ripcord moment, you can execute and hit your perfect landing.
Welcome to the Ripcord Moment. I'm your host, Joe Cetu. Today, we're joined by Margalit Grunberger. In 1996, she founded Gotcha Covered, an international wholesale linen company with a close friend. They had a 20-year successful run and ultimately sold their business in November 2016. Margalit has since transitioned to a business coach for entrepreneurs, where she focuses on the mental fitness and inner game of life. Her motto is coaching leaders on what matters most. Margalit's entrepreneurial spirit comes from her parents who survived the horrors of the Holocaust in Czechoslovakia. This drives Margalit to look at life a little differently, and it's part of our coaching DNA. Margalit, welcome to the Ripcord Moment.
Thank you, Joe. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you. Well, let's go ahead and jump in. I want to almost start with the end and have you kind of walk us backwards. You had this linen company that you started with a close friend of yours, and you ran it for 20 years very successfully. But ultimately, you decided to sell and move on to other adventures in life, other endeavors. How did you start to think about preparing for an exit from your business?
Well, we started thinking about it probably 5 years prior, 5 or 6 years prior. And the joke was, we had this like rolling goal. Every 6 months, 12 months, my business partner's name was Lisa, we'd say, when do we want to sell? And we kept saying 3 to 5 years. And every year we would say 3 to 5 years. And she was she's 5 years older than me, and she just wanted out sooner than I did. And we also saw a lot of millennials and younger entrepreneurs who were getting into this business that were much more passionate, much more tech savvy than we are. And it's just as important, I use this in coaching today with clients, just as important to know when to stop doing what you're doing as when to start doing what you're doing. And we realized, let's end on a high note.
I love that, right? Go out on a high note, go out as a winner. What would your advice be for owners today who are taking some of those, taking that advice? What are some of those specific key things to indicate that, hey, maybe it's time to think about going ahead and selling or exiting the business?
Well, you know, in business, you have to have a visionary and an integrator. And so as the visionary, we were both good at being visionaries, but she was the official visionary. I was the official integrator, but thankfully we did it together. And you take a look at the whole industry, you keep a pulse on it. So pay attention to who your competition is. What are they doing? So in addition to examining and paying attention to our sales and what's going on with our product lines, what's going on with the others, like a Casper, a Boll & Branch, a Parachute. Today, these are well-known names. But when we were noticing it, they were slowly creeping up and getting investors. And so I would advise people just pay attention to what's going on in your industry and to your customers and to potential customers.
And so it sounds like specifically there, you were looking at your relative position in the market, and it sounds like perhaps you were seeing the writing on the wall of what that changing dynamic might be. And you were evaluating, hey, we're at a high note at this point, and maybe it's time to sort of cash in our chips and let's take the winnings and move on to something else.
Yeah, I like the way that you give feedback to me on that. It's true, because we could have gone to the next level. We chose not to. Lisa wanted to retire, and I wanted to do something else, which is also important for exiting your company. What's next for the owner or owners? And so it was a choice.
It was a choice, a good choice. That's critical, right? Because so many owners exit sort of on terms that are not voluntary, if you will. It's not on their own choice. It's forced on them. And so remaining flexible and having that ability to choose and create your own destiny, it sounds like that was a winning formula for the both of you.
Well, you bring up a good point. And again, I'd use this in coaching. Is it a requirement or a preference? For us, it was a requirement to exit the way we wanted to exit.
So holding core to your true values and maybe not biting off more than you can chew in terms of, because there's always this idea of like, hey, let's just continue to grow, right?
I know. Yeah. That's hard. It's like, well, maybe now's not the time. You can't time it. It's like the stock market. You can't time it. Just commit and make the decision. When we were doing the 5-6 years, you know, are you committed or are you interested? We were just interested. Once we committed to exiting, it just went from there.
So let's dive a little deeper on that, because you made I love that. Are you committed or are you interested? What's the difference? I mean, obviously, what's the difference in your mind between those two definitional aspects?
Great question. So I like using simple stories to illustrate that. So I'm a chegan. I'm a cheating vegan. I am only interested in being a vegan. I am not interested in being committed. Right. So I get to dance with that a little bit. So if I go to your house, Joe, and you serve me chicken, I'm eating it. Okay. However, I'm committed to selling and exiting my business and getting X amount of money and creating the next level of my life. That there's no negotiation. There's negotiation with the buyer, but there's no negotiating with me. Another way of saying it is with exercise. Exercise is non-negotiable in my life most days. I'm committed. When I was interested, I was 53 pounds heavier. I moved to committed. I don't like it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a mindset thing, which right. I think you spend a lot of time coaching on. For owners who are really serious, they got to get past this interested phase to the committed phase if they really want the results that they think they want long-term.
And while you're saying that, commitment looks different on me than it does on you and vice versa. And that's, you know, a coaching conversation, a mentor conversation, a conversation with yourself to make the, because what would a committed person do and what would an interested person do? Choose.
So let's talk a little bit more specific about how what you and your partner, we talked a little bit about the time frame here, but what were sort of the non-negotiables or the very specific things you wanted in your exit?
So there was a minimum dollar value.
Mm-hmm.
There was, we didn't want more than a year payout. We're cash at the end of a year, more than a year out.
Mm-hmm.
When we wanted minimal cash payout at more than a year or less, you know, so we wanted someone to pay now and then maybe 20%. There were certain things like that. We wanted someone who would completely own our business that didn't want us on board more than a few months. We wanted someone who we can work with on the exit. Our buyer was easy to work with. We had an amazing business broker, as you know. He was easy. He was aligned with us. We all wanted a win-win situation. We would have liked him to take our employees, but he was out of state, so that didn't happen.
Okay. This almost sounds like a dream list in many ways, but it sounds like you were really clear on what your negotiables and your non-negotiables were before you even went into the transaction. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. And then in the transaction, you sometimes have to, you know, give a little.
Well, of course.
Get a little. Yeah.
Hence the term negotiation, right?
Right. None of us were dictatorial, but we knew what we wanted.
Sure. Well, so you've mentally gone through, okay, you and your partner have decided you're going to do it. You've committed to it. You've come up with your non-negotiables. You get into the actual exercise of due diligence and exiting the business. What were some of the most difficult aspects or parts for you and your partner?
This was a really stressful time for me. I hear you say the word due diligence and my heart races.
Like right now it does?
Like right now.
Okay.
And with clients, and I'm really honest with them, I'm like, let me just take a breath. And that's all mental, because our buyer was an incredible man. He's an incredible man. It was not about him. It was about me. And it was trying to figure out what was important to the buyer. And that's another thing that, now that I'm talking about it, we always think about what's important for us as the owner who's selling. But I want to know what's most important for you. For example, our buyer had a cut and sew. We used an out, you know, people who actually make the bedding, who sew the bedding. And so he didn't need to have that in our financials. I could back that out. It's things like that. So what is important to you? And for me, that was stressful because, you know, your business is your baby. And the truth is, I this is what I wish for others, that they, I'm a very calm person and it stressed me out. And you know, we can't make great decisions if we're in fear and doubt and anxiety and all that.
So how were you able to, well, let's take a step back here. You bring up something that's fascinating, which is as the seller, right, we oftentimes are thinking about what it's like, how much the seller's going to get, what the earnout's going to be. You went through some of that, but it sounds like you and your partner were very mindful and would encourage other sellers to be mindful of focusing on what the buyer's needs are and catering in some ways to that to help there be more of an alignment of interest versus across the table negotiation, almost, I don't want to use the word adversarial, but sort of countering each other. Talk to us a little bit more about why you think that's so important.
Well, if you're interested in buying my business, it's valuable for me to understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to be in this negotiation, let's say it's better to tell you a story. Let's say you have people who are going to sew for you. You own them. You own that part of your business. It behooves both of us for me to show you the financials about that and how it'll affect you in the future. So you don't have to go through it all. So you see that I'm making it a little easier on you. If I understand your needs, and this isn't only in business, you know, you're more open to what I have to offer and vice versa.
Absolutely. Well, that's good advice. We're going to go ahead and pause real quick from a word from our sponsor.
As a part of our commitment to empowering business owners, we've partnered with sponsors that make this podcast possible. We've asked them to share a little bit about their ripcord moment and how they're helping owners hit their perfect landing.
Morton Capital is a wealth advisory firm with the goal of helping families get the most life out of their wealth. We believe the most successful clients are those that have identified what is most important: family, travel, financial freedom, or protecting their nest egg. We then build a strategy that results in them spending more time doing the things they love. This is also our goal for our firm and our team. We are business owners ourselves and have experienced the ripcord moment twice, once in 2006 and then again in 2013. The first landing ended up a little too bureaucratic, with a lack of flexibility in how we ran our business and served our clients. The second transaction was much more successful because we focused on the things we valued: independence, opportunity, control, and the ability to run a business where people truly love coming to work. Our team today is stronger than ever, and our people are empowered to build strategic, innovative, and thoughtful plans that allow our clients to get more life out of their wealth.
And we're back at the Ripcord Moment with Margalit Grunberger. Margalit, you mentioned just something a second ago, which was sort of the emotional toll that the due diligence, the negotiation, the exit took on you. How were you able to stay focused during such a stressful time?
Well, I learned it in the moment that I was going through it. I wish I had the emotional and mental tools that I have now and that I share with clients, but just take a deep breath, question my thoughts. If I thought something, this isn't going to work, or, you know, they're going to ask me about this. And I get really nervous. Just sit back. Because we, you know, sit back and calm myself. Talk to a coach. Talk to a mentor. I talk to, he's my husband now. He was my boyfriend at the time. He happens to be a CPA. And I'd show him something that was due for due diligence. He'd say it's financially irrelevant, insignificant. It's okay. Have a support system. People that you really trust.
So having a support system ahead of time to fall back on, to be able to talk to while you're going with this is something. And that's interesting because I don't think many owners think through that. Obviously, they think of their team of professionals, the, you know, their CPA, their legal counsel, their business broker, investment banker, financial advisor, and maybe even their own internal team. But what you're suggesting is sort of a moral support team to help ease the anxieties of these kind of transactions.
Exactly. And also have a little bit of knowledge about our brain, the way our brain works. I mean, our brain is doing its job when it says to me, Margalit, you can't do this. What are you going to do next? You know, that's our, right? I know you know a little about this. The amygdala just going crazy. And if I just know, all right, okay. I always say, don't let my panic or fear drive my life or my business. Just put it in the passenger seat or in the back seat. And just to pay attention and be aware of that helped me.
No, no, those are wonderful points. I think it is a little easier said than done, right? For many
absolutely.
Of us where our minds, the whole monkey brain gets to racing. And so maybe give the audience some very specific examples. Like, were you doing yoga or meditation or deep breathing exercises?
I deep breathe a lot. I know that 3 belly breaths, I'm like a neuroscience nerd. So just mm-hmm. enough, you know, 3 belly breaths actually changes the chemistry of our brain. It also allows us to pause, which really, you know, there's a saying in my coaching world, slow down to speed up.
Slow down to speed up. What do you mean by that?
It's like if you really want something, take a breath, slow down, think about it. You know, one of the most important decisions my business partner and I did, she wants everything yesterday and I take my time. And we needed to figure out what works for both of us. We had a great partnership. And we decided to sleep on every major decision for the business, no matter what, if we agreed, if we disagreed. That's what slowing down means. She preferred to make the decision right then. When you slow down and allow for a little pause, it opens up space to what's possible, which I could talk to you forever.
No, I love that. But I want to, you said something very interesting there that I want to touch on, which is your style of management or your style of making decisions, it sounds like, is different than your partner's. And did you guys have it sounds like you had a sort of agreed upon way, and knowing that as you were going into this transaction, did you have an agreed upon way in which you were going to be making these decisions ahead of time?
Absolutely. That was key. An agreement with Lisa was key because her needs are totally different than mine. It worked brilliantly in the business because, you know, you want to wear different hats.
Right.
But we constantly checked in with each other. What do you need? What do I need?
What do you need? Okay. And then it sounds like if there was a big decision that needs to be made, your agreement was you were going to sleep, you at least allow 24 hours to go by.
Overnight. Yes.
Overnight. Before you guys made those critical decisions. But having what I find interesting is having that agreed upon formula before you even go into the negotiation or go through this sounds like really worked really well for the both of you.
It did. And honestly, she was in a different financial situation than I was. She had more money, has more money. And mm-hmm. so I was always afraid what's going to happen. And this cemented it. I'm going to be fine and she's going to be fine.
Wow.
You know, it's called expectations versus agreements. You don't want to live or do an exit by expectations. You want to cement and be committed to agreements. And you can always change them, but talk about it.
Talk about it. Get it out on the table.
Absolutely. It changed our lives. I mean, she would say the same thing.
So walk us through the transaction a little bit. You were able to, it sounds like, negotiate, you know, these things that you said were really important to you, which was most of the cash up front, not a long earnout. You didn't have to stay on board for, you know, really too long. as the transaction was winding down, when did it become clear to you that you wanted to go into coaching?
I've been an unofficial coach my whole life. Any of us who are in business, you know, coaching originally came from the word leaders. We used to be called leaders. So I always coached, but I wanted to know what my what next was. And people always said, you should be a coach. You're so helpful. Da, da, da. So I decided to take an International Coaching Federation 6-month class just to see. You don't need any credentials if you want to coach. You don't have to. I wanted to for myself. And I loved it. And so I decided, and I do it differently than most. I mean, I'm not a spot on accountability coach. What do you want to do next week? Because for me, it has to be, it's an inner game. It's not an external game. It's the inner game of entrepreneurship. You know, I talked to a client today. He was so excited because all of a sudden he's very successful in his business, but he wanted to feel more at ease. And I said to him, why is it important for you to be at ease? He said, because I can make decisions. I work with my business partner better. My employees and I get along better. I can enjoy my life more. Young guy. And so how do you explain that? You know, he knows how to run his business. He needs help from the inside.
The inside. No, and I love that. And it's funny you bring that up because one of my favorite books that I recently read, it's called Inner Excellence by Jim Murphy. I believe it's the author. And it talks really about so much, I think, of what you're touching on. But the where I'm going with this is for you in particular, it sounds like you're coaching on mindset, on starting with the inner game first. What are some of the other aspects that you're coaching specifically your clients on that can maybe benefit some of the audience members?
Well, the inner game is a big game. Some of it is direct communication. You know, I'm coaching 3 business partners who they really get along well. And yet when they're speaking to each other, the disconnect is, what are you asking of the other partners?
It's a communication issue?
Yeah. And these are 3 women who get along and tend to communicate well. But when they're asking for something, the person asking doesn't know exactly what they're asking. And the people who receive it. And it changes lives. Another one that I love, she's a Forbes 30 under 30. Mm-hmm. Empathy. Why do you want to learn about empathy? Because I can't keep employees.
Wow.
And so we work on these things. I asked this person, where do you think you are on an empathy scale from 1 to 10, 1 being low? She goes, 0. She's not 0, but she claims 0. So she's not going to get to a 10 or an 8. How do we get her to a 3? We got her to a 3 or 4, and she's keeping, you know, when she's keeping more employees, which makes a big difference.
A huge difference. Yeah.
Well, that's... And she had a belief that you can't be empathetic and be successful. So we challenge that belief which is what I do.
Challenging beliefs. Okay. Well, we call this the ripcord moment because I'm a big believer that for many owners like yourself, right, it's a once in a lifetime jump. And the idea is that they have to have that ripcord and parachute ready to go when it occurs. And in order to make sure it doesn't fail, I ask our guests to give us 2 actionable items that owners can do today to be more prepared for their exit in the future. And so, Marguerite, as we get into the last portion of our discussion today, what would you say are the 2 action items owners really should consider if they're going to contemplate an exit in the near future?
Great question. And I love the title of your podcast because it's so on target, so true. Just prepare early, prepare before maybe you're even thinking about it, because then you have more time to play with the whole thing. You know, it's like going window shopping before you actually need clothes, right? For a wedding or for your next interview or something. And one of the questions two questions that I always ask when preparing early is, what one thing can I start doing to create what I want? And what one thing can I stop doing to create what I want? Stop and start are really good tools in any situation in our lives. And it doesn't have to be 4, 1 will change. And then I know I keep repeating myself, take care of your emotional state. Whatever that looks like to you. I mean, I didn't include spinning in how I take care of myself. It's kind of like an active meditation for me. where I do a lot of free flow thinking on it and I just feel good on it. But just take care of yourself, have a group, have a community, take deep breaths. Whatever that means to you, take learn about how our brain works. I mean, you can read articles on it. One article, just when that self-doubt creeps up, question it. Is it true? How can I think differently? What if questions are wonderful? What if that wasn't true?
These sound like wonderful techniques, and I really appreciate you sharing your insights and your story with our audience. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. But Margalit, if anybody that's listening wants to get a hold of you to maybe learn more about your coaching, how could they reach you?
So my website is Margalit Method, M-A-R-G-A-L-I-T, method.com.
Oh, perfect. Well, thanks again for being with us today. This was a wonderful conversation. And this is Joe Cetu signing off from the Ripcord Moment, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Ripcord Moment. If you'd like to connect, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or on email at jcetu@mortoncapital.com. The information presented is for discussion and illustrative purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by the speakers are as of the date of the recording and subject to change. These views should not be relied on for financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult with your attorney, financial professional, or accountant before implementing any strategies or transactions concerning your finances. Morton Capital is an SEC registered investment advisor. Assets under management data is as of 12/31/2019. The views expressed herein should not be relied on as investment advice and are not intended as a recommendation to buy or sell any type of security. There's risk of loss investing in securities, including loss of principal. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.